to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
It's common to hear people say that science has somehow disproved God, or at least made him irrelevant. This is not a new suggestion, but it is one that troubles a lot of people. It may surprise you, though, to learn that until quite recently, theology, that's the study of God, was known throughout universities as the queen of the sciences. Tell that to your local science teacher or lecturer and they'll probably laugh at you and say, well, thank God we know better now. The debate between science and religion has more to do with attitude than with evidence. On the one hand, religious people are often paranoid about being hit over the head with the latest scientific theory against God, soon to be replaced, of course, with another theory. On the other hand, many scientific people are equally paranoid and suspicious about anything that can't be analysed in a laboratory. Over the next two nights, I want to talk about this tension between science and religion. Firstly, I'll try and explain how people came to see that science was somehow opposed to belief in God. And then I'd like to show how modern scientists are thinking again about the possibility of God. And then thirdly, I want to show that the highly billed science versus God debate is really a non-event. What started this separation between the queen of the sciences and the rest of science? Without wanting this to be too simplistic, let me describe some key events in the process. Now, in high school, we were all taught that the Earth and the rest of the planets revolve around the sun. But people haven't always believed this. In fact, before the 16th century, everyone was taught by scientists that the Earth was the true centre of the universe. Around that time, an astronomer, mathematician, and physicist named Galileo argued that the Earth was not the thing around which everything else revolved. Now, the established church of Galileo's day, on the advice of its scientific advisors, didn't appreciate his ideas at all. They insisted that the Earth was the center of the universe. Unfortunately, the church also claimed that this was what the Bible taught on the issue, even though the Bible says no such thing. Poor Galileo got into a lot of trouble for his views and was forced to publicly deny his theories. This is a tragedy because, of course, we now know that he was right and the church was dead wrong. Critics of the church have not allowed her to forget this serious scientific blunder. Slowly but surely, then, Christianity has been pushed out of the sphere of scientific credibility. This Galileo incident symbolizes the beginning of the science versus God mentality. Then the famous scientist Charles Darwin entered the science versus God bout when, in 1859, he proposed his theory of evolution by natural selection. Now, we've all had to think about evolution at school. It was the topic of debate that made Year 10 science lessons almost bearable for me. To jolt your memory, Darwin suggested the principle of the survival of the fittest. Those animals which had characteristics which allowed them to adapt to their environment were most likely to live long enough to reproduce and pass on those survival characteristics to the next generation. Darwin supposed that if this process occurred over millions and millions of years, it might just account for the many different species found throughout the Earth. They could have all developed from one starting point. As you can imagine, the atheists, that's people who believe there's no God, were very, very pleased with Darwin. Finally, they had a scientific theory that explained our world without the influence of a creator. All living beings, including humans, could have simply evolved from the same primordial soup, as it's been called. This and various other factors further widened the gap between science and faith in God. As an aside, though, it's interesting to note that Darwin himself believed in God and didn't view his theories as a contradiction of that belief. In fact, in his book, The Origin of Species, there's a reference to God as the creator who originally breathed life with its several powers into a few forms or into one. Darwin's ideas were taken on, though, like an alternative religion, to many people at least. They reasoned that if nature, not God, was the ruling force behind our past and our future, we might as well forget about religion. If there's no God, and we're just an interesting mutation in the ape kingdom, then let's live like we believe that. A philosopher named Friedrich Nietzsche rose to great prominence during the time of Darwin. He popularized the phrase, God is dead, and encouraged a new way of living that excluded morals and religion. Science and philosophy were now ganging up in their dismissal of religion and God. Round one seemed to be a resounding victory to science. But that's not the whole story. In fact, the idea that science has defeated God is rapidly losing credibility as more and more of the great minds of the present day are referring to God as the only satisfactory answer to the big questions raised by science. 21st Century Magazine, a secular magazine, ran an article titled God and Science. It discussed an interesting shift in modern scientific thinking. Let me quote what this magazine said. One of the reasons why physics has become so appealing to a wider public is precisely because its theories are now giving us a picture of a universe that apparently has the stamp of a higher creative power on it. John Polkinghorne, who's the president of Queen's College at Cambridge University and one of the leading high-energy physicists over the last 30 years, said this about the origin of the universe. There is no free lunch. Somebody has to pay, and only God has the resources to put in what was needed to get what we've got. Closer to home, there's Professor Paul Davies from Macquarie University here in Sydney. He's one of the most distinguished scientists in the world. Now, he would certainly not claim to be a Christian, and I've heard him desperately try to distance his own conclusions from the beliefs of religious people. But he is convinced, as a scientist, that the nature of the universe can only be explained by the existence of a supreme mind. In fact, he's written books with titles like God and the New Physics, or The Mind of God. And in these books, he sets out to argue that the universe looks as though it has been set up to produce life by a supreme intelligence. Then there's Robert Jastrow, the former director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. That's Goddard, nothing to do with God. Talking about the so-called Big Bang Theory, he describes how scientists have stumbled across something the theologians have been saying for quite a while. Here's a quote. This is an exceedingly strange development. We scientists did not expect to find evidence for an abrupt beginning. At this moment, it seems as though science will never be able to raise the curtain on the mystery of creation. For the scientist, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. Now, I should make clear that none of what I've said is intended to prove that God exists. My own view is that you can't actually prove the existence of God in the same way, say, that you can prove 2 plus 2 equals 4. And personally, I believe in God for roughly the same reason that Albert Einstein believed in God, that Charles Darwin believed in God, because the kind of universe we have is more understandable if there is a God than if there isn't. A universe which operates on such highly sophisticated laws and which can produce beings so intelligent that they can study those laws for themselves is far more likely on the assumption that there is a lawgiver and mind behind the universe than on the assumption that there isn't. In other words, we have exactly the kind of universe you'd expect if there was a creator, and the kind of universe you'd never expect if there wasn't a creator. But that's not my main point here. All I wanted to do tonight is highlight that believing in God is not unscientific or unintelligent. And according to the 21st Century magazine I quoted earlier, amongst modern physicists, belief in God is not an oddity at all. A recent survey of professional scientists in the US found that when you compare the scientific academic community with the general American population, there is no difference at all in the levels of church attendance or belief in God. In other words, it's simply not true to suggest that scientific knowledge somehow undermines faith in the Creator. The tension between science and religion is not what it once was. And tomorrow night, I want to argue that the fight between science and God really has to be called off completely.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.